It is both a privilege and a challenge to be living in the times of the signs.
And in between those comings, the first coming and the second coming, is you. Us, the church age. And we are nearing the end, by the way. It's been 2,000 years as we approach now the end of the church age.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with Pastor Jack Hibbs. So much of what the Bible predicted is now rushing into reality. No one addresses current issues better than Pastor Jack. We hope you enjoy this engaging and compelling hour as we watch events unfold that were foretold thousands of years ago. Here is today's programming.
Number one, regarding approaching, is this. Number one is the times of the signs. Will you write that down? You say, Jack, did you write that down right? You mean the signs of the times? No. Listen, we've moved beyond that. These are the times of the signs. We're living in days that are the opening throes of a world that is being set up like a play is being set up on stage. Chairs, drops, backdrops, positions, the actors are taking the stage is being set. Listen, for us as Bible believers, we are not to be people who are hyper about these things. We are not to be sensational about these things. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we are not to be dismissive of these things. So what are we? We are to be a people who are viewing the things that are going on around the world with Bible open, and not to be sensational, but to be scriptural. What could this mean? Does it mean anything? Does this have anything to do with the Bible and its prophecies or the other? We want to be careful. Every generation of believers from the very beginning, from Old Testament saints all the way through to the present, God has asked us to be very aware and be looking for the fact that are you living in the times of the signs?
Welcome to the program. I know you recognize the voice of Pastor Jack Hibbs, and with so much happening in the world and the church, I try to tap into Pastor Jack as often as I can. He pastors Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, where I've had the privilege to minister on a couple of occasions, a thriving megachurch in Southern California. Pastor Hibbs has an extensive media ministry online, on radio. Now some of his services are being carried on secular television as well. Jack has spoken at 4 of my Understanding the Times conferences and was scheduled for number 5 in 2020. Canceled due to COVID chaos, I guess. That little clip we played, obviously we're talking about times of the signs. We're going to cover in rapid bullet point manner here a lot of topics. We'll try to get right to the point. World Economic Forum, the rush to globalism. Heard a fascinating message Jack gave very recently about the man in the shadows. That would be the Antichrist. We have an announcement to make about an upcoming conference called Behold, He Comes. We'll have more to say about that as we move into the hour. So, Pastor Jack Hibbs, welcome back to Understanding the Times Radio.
Jan, not only am I happy to be back, but I want all of your listeners to know that I and a handful of others that you know of are greatly indebted to your steadfast commitment to the teaching of God's Word. Jan, you gave many of us a platform at your conference, which has just made such a difference. Thank you, Jan. Thank you for having me on.
I just played that clip of you talking about the times of the signs and all that's going on. I mean, you and I could probably do a 3-hour program here. Obviously, we're not going to do so, but why don't you summarize? Give me a minute. What are you seeing play out before our eyes? You and I know we're in sync. I want to head to the World Economic Forum eventually here, at least briefly, but tell me your thoughts, particularly as you gave that message not all that long ago, the times of the signs.
You know, what's amazing about this period that we're in is that you can actually open up your Bible to any eschatological topic, which is very unique in this age in which we're in. Pick a topic that applies to Bible prophecy, and you can point that chapter verse to an issue that's going on today, be it a cashless system,
that's right,
be it the Great Reset, be it global religion, the dynamic of racism, which the Bible covers. Jesus mentioned that perfectly clear, natural disasters. I don't know how someone could be a non-believer today in where we're living, because Bible prophecy is something that is addressing every area where I can point my finger God has anticipated that moment with his prophetic word.
You and I have both talked about the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset. I have said on air that I believe the tribulation is likely this Great Reset. And I've said that for the Christian, the Great Reset is the rapture followed 7 years later by the millennium. I'm going to play a clip of you talking about this World Economic Forum fiasco because they're coming up meeting in May. I personally think they're on an agenda to establish, sooner rather than later, a one-world system. Let's come back and talk about it.
The Great Reset, I didn't make this up. We didn't make this, by the way. This is from the World Economic Forum. There's an urgent need for global stakeholders to cooperate in simultaneously managing the direct consequences of the COVID-19 crisis. I could go on forever right now to show you and talk to you about how important it is to the World Economic Forum to keep the COVID-19 issue alive as long as they can milk it. They need it. And if it dies, they're going to find another one. I promise you this. I hate to blow your mind so early in the morning, but there will never be the normal that you used to know. These guys and a host of others will not allow it. How can you say that? Because the Bible says there's a coming economic reset. And when the world tells us they are working on a global economic reset, no wonder why I had you hold up your Bible. And so, taking place in the context of the United Nations General Assembly, farce, the World Economic Forum's fourth and, for the first time, fully virtual, sustainable, and it goes on to talk about how we bring the world together as one economically to press reset, making nations equal.
Jack, a coming one world system, obviously outlined in Revelation. I've got some headlines in front of me. Sky News. COVID-19, Boris Johnson joins world leaders in call for global treaty to prepare for next pandemic. Zero Hedge, 24 world leaders call for more globalism in wake of pandemic. I could go on and on. Again, Revelation 13 outlines this, but did you ever think you'd see it leap off the pages? We know it leaps off the pages of the Bible. How about the newspapers and the internet like it is here in 2020 and 2021?
Well, it's amazing, Jan, for you and I and many of your audience. We have always studied Bible prophecy, and we always had a feel or a thought as to how could this stuff come down? How could it come together? Mm-hmm. Now we don't have to wonder. It is here. It's actually here. What is thrilling, there's no doubt about it, is that what we've studied for so long is now being lived out in our world. So now we're seeing details. And you're right, you and I can talk about those details from the reset, the issue of faith in the world right now, regarding the issue of the United States. If we're living in the last days, then there are some things that are diametrically opposed to the onslaught of this coming world agenda.
That's
and
right.
The U.S. Constitution is one of them.
That's right.
That's got to go. The U.S. Constitution has got to go. We got to cancel that. We need to cancel faith in God and reappoint that to faith in government.
That's right.
It's funny because when President Trump was in office, he was constantly being attacked for his deflecting to pastors and to prayer and to these things that he called for. But now all of a sudden, that was wrong when he did it. But now we're being called to, and I just heard it yesterday, we need to trust in our government, mm-hmm. says our leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have God and government. One's going to be over the other. You can't have a constitution as ours is and usher in the last day scenario. So I think we're living at an epic time. I see the evidence for all those things coming to pass. A cashless system is already here. We're living it. Then how much closer is Jesus? I look for him to trumpet us out of here today.
Well, you had a fascinating message. You called it a man in the shadows, and you talked about this man with a plan, this Mr. Fix-It, a world leader. He's going to arise out of a crisis. My goodness, 2020, 2021, it's endless crises. We've seen businesses closing. We've had panic due to a pandemic. We've seen people lose their livelihoods. And I think one of the most troubling things we've seen, Jack, is the conditioning that's going on. people don't even seem to know that they're being conditioned. Some of them are going like lemmings over a cliff. It concerns me. But this man in the shadows, just play just another real quick clip of you here, and I love the way you say this.
1,260 days, which is a biblical 3.5 years, from the day the peace treaty is signed, 1,260 days from that day, he's going to go into the temple and he's going to go on CNN and Fox and all the cable and all the satellite networks. And the Bible says the world will see this and he will declare himself to be God. And you know what the world does? The world goes, right on. You're awesome. And the Bible says, Jesus says in Matthew 24 to the Jews, the moment you see that happen, run. Don't even go downstairs to get your coat. Run. Wow. In the midpoint, he will go into the temple and declare himself to be God. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no temple in Jerusalem right now, but they're talking about building it. I'm looking up. I'm excited.
Jack, you and I both feel that Satan has had a man tapped in every generation. He does not know when that final scenario is going to play out. He looks at the signs of the times of the signs, same as you and I do, but he doesn't know, so he taps someone in every generation.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. It only makes sense that Satan, who certainly knows the scripture well, even still, doesn't know the hour that the Lord has set. So I do believe that there's biblical evidence to where he's always got to be ready. And in one of those messages, Jan, I mentioned that Satan always has to have his man ready. You bet he's watching the signs of the times, sometimes more than maybe Christians are. There's Christians that are somewhat oblivious to this moment in which we're living in. I don't know how that's true.
Yeah.
I see them every Sunday coming to church from other walks of life or ministry life, and they're getting excited about what the Bible says. Instead of being terrified, they're finding comfort, which is exactly what Bible prophecy should do for you. It should comfort you.
Let me talk about you and your church for a moment. Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. By the way, folks, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell, and I have the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, Jack Hibbs, on the air with me for the hour. He's been at my conferences for the last 5 years at least. Talking about your church, folks are, we won't name churches, but they're abandoning other churches in your region, Southern California. They're ending up at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. By the way, you have just done a series. You call it Futures. Give us a paragraph. Why did you do, it had to be a couple of months, it may have been 3 months, on Futures. Then I want to talk to you about what are you seeing in all these people that are streaming to your church?
Remarkable. During the COVID year, you know, we were meeting fully open, and we had just ended 2 Peter. And that's really my style. I like teaching chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But as I was meeting new people, they were telling me, I'm from XYZ Church, and I've been listening or watching online. And so we've come. We bought Bibles. Mm-hmm. We realized we need a Bible here. And we bought highlighters and markers. We started learning in 2 Peter, verse by verse. But we don't know anything about Bible prophecy. And I was hearing this, Jan, by the hundreds and hundreds of people. So that what happened was, instead of me going right into another verse-by-verse book, I had to stop and create the Futures series to introduce people who were believers, who had a very remedial understanding of their Bible, and bring them up to speed on the time in which they're living in from or in Bible prophecy. It was something we had to do, or else technically I think the welfare of our church was going to be threatened, because I don't want people walking around here not knowing the times in which they live. It was an investment on our part to do that, and it turned out to be tremendous because people flocked all the more. We are a Protestant church, but we have been flooded with Catholics whose churches were closed, and they are having the time of their life now studying the Bible.
Oh, and they're finding the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior,
too. Yes, they are. Yes.
That is wonderful. By the way, why don't we take this opportunity just to mention, I mean, you've just done a Futures series, but you and I are talking about doing our conference this fall. Most of my listeners know that my Understanding the Times, being here in Minnesota, it's really difficult because of our liberal politics and social distancing and all the things that go along with COVID chaos in some of our blue states that I've had to cancel it in 2020 and gave up on even trying to do it in 2021. You're going to be doing this conference. You're calling it Behold He Comes. It's going to be Saturday, September the 11th, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Probably about 8:30 in the morning till late afternoon, no cost. Who are your speakers, Jack?
The wonderful and amazing Jan Markell, which we're so happy to announce, Amir Serfate, Pastor Barry Stagner, and myself. Jan, it will be no strange event to your conference attendees in the past. They're going to feel right at home.
Sure. I agree. They will. So this is at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, Saturday, September the 11th. We'll keep you apprised in the coming weeks and months. Probably begin about 8:30 in the morning till late afternoon. There's no cost. By the way, Jack's church, between indoors and outdoors, can seat up to 5,000 people. Hopefully some of you who've traveled literally from 48 states in some years to Understanding the Times events will think about journeying to Southern California September the 11th for Behold He Comes. We'll hope to present some very cutting-edge information for you. Jack, I have heard you say from your pulpit, and this is a couple months ago, it was very cutting-edge. It happened to be a Wednesday night service, and you just kind of bore your soul to not just your congregation, but one of the things that's caused the boom in your outreach is your electronic audience, and that's what I happen to be watching. And I heard you say it. The likelihood of you ending up somewhere in jail is pretty high. You said that with such passion, and you said it with conviction, and you were unashamed that no matter what, you're going to be preaching the gospel that may cost you a whole lot. What was behind that? Not only that statement, but that passion.
What was behind it was the privilege and the honor that I had working with the Trump administration regarding faith and biblical worldview values. A lot of people didn't realize that that was important to Trump's administration, but I can tell you that Secretary Mike Pompeo and a few others, that it was extremely important. Having said that, you could see the incoming administration and their outright angst against our First Amendment, and against specifically the evangelical. The data is yet forthcoming. George Barna, is the statistician, is looking at this. He's going to be publishing this pretty soon. The amount of evangelicals who voted for Trump will be published as an all-time record. It's over 90% of registered evangelicals voted for Trump. So why am I saying this? I'm saying this because the Biden administration understands what group stands in opposition to any re-election or anything like that. Having said that, we knew what was coming. Here in Southern California, or here in California, I should say, out of Sacramento, there's been nothing but one after another of specific legislation being either attempted to pass or has passed in direct attack of the Judeo-Christian worldview value. And one of them was most violent recently. Now, it's been pulled by the author, and that's AB 655.
Yes.
Which was a bill, I know to most of you here is going to sound insane, but you got to remember something. California is a one-party government, completely. They get to pass what they get to dream up. This was a bill that was designed and specifically targeted a law enforcement personnel in their faith. It literally said that if this bill passed, they couldn't talk about their faith. Listen, police officers could not talk about their faith on or off duty. They could not talk about their faith on police media or their private media. And it got so much heat in California that the author pulled the bill. We know what that means in California. The author pulls the bill from a vote, and he waits for the press to calm down. And then because they have a super majority in California, they just wind up passing it in the shadows, passing it at 5 o'clock on a Friday. It is so antichrist. It will become the most antichrist legislation on the books in America today. It would cause me and Christian radio, if we say the truth, to be cited or arrested. So here in California, the pastor's got to make a decision. Am I going to teach the Bible chapter by chapter and verse by verse, or am I going to pull certain verses or chapters out of the Bible for fear of the government? I tell you, that's not going to happen without us taking a stand here, and we cannot compromise. God has been so faithful, he's been so good to us, that there's just no way that I could abandon him when that time comes.
Quoting Dr. James Dobson here, he says this, Joe Biden has advanced far-left policies, most often by executive order, and continues to blame President Trump for problems that he is creating, even as he takes credit for successes he inherited. Dobson goes on to say, through it all, President Biden nevertheless accuses Republicans of continuing the politics of division. He even questioned whether the Republican Party would still be here in 2024. How this man could say such things with a straight face is beyond me, Dobson says, yet it seems that he is willing to say anything to cram his radical left agenda down the throats of all Americans. And he concludes, it's more clear than ever that our nation is teetering on the edge. Are Christians at long last aware of this horrible reality? And are we finally ready to stand up and let our voices be heard before it is forever too late? I want to play a very short clip. It happens to be Tucker Carlson, but he's interviewing a fascinating gal by the name of Naomi Wolf. I will tell you, Naomi Wolf is an ardent leftist. However, the activities of our government in the last year has opened her eyes to the fact that we're heading quickly into a police state, and they have a very interesting discussion here, and we'll come back and pick it up.
One person who apparently is not afraid to speak up is Naomi Wolf, who is undoubtedly losing friends by appearing on the show tonight. She's the author of The End of America, Letter of Warning to a Young Patriot, and the CEO of Daily Clout. She joins us tonight. Naomi Wolf, I appreciate your coming on. I never thought I would be talking to you except in a debate format. I'm sure we disagree on an awful lot. But on this, I was struck by the bravery it must have taken you to write it. I'm sure you lost friends over it and for doing this. Tell us why you're doing this and why you wrote that.
Well, it's not just first of all, thank you, Tucker. I'm really happy to be talking to you. It's not just that one tweet. I've been writing pretty much every day for months and months about what I see as the terrible crisis that we're in, that we have to recognize under the guise of a real medical pandemic. We're really moving into a coup situation, a police state situation, and that's not a partisan thing. That, you know, as you say, that transcends everything you and I might agree or disagree on.
Right.
That should bring together left and right to protect our Constitution. We're absolutely moving into what I call step 10. I wrote a book in which I pointed out there were 10 steps that would-be tyrants always take when they want to close down a democracy. Whether they're on the left or the right, they always do the same 10 things. And now we're at something I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. You described it really, really well. It is step 10, and that's the suspension of the rule of law. That's when you start to be a police state, and we're here. There's no way around it. I've interviewed doctors. I've interviewed, you know, ordinary people, restaurant owners from all walks of life who are absolutely unable to even articulate their fear and horror, recognizing that the state has now crushed businesses, kept us from gathering in free assembly to worship, as the First Amendment provides, is invading our bodies, as you mentioned, which is a violation of the Fourth Amendment, is restricting movement, fining us here in New York State. I could be fined $15,000 a day if I gather people, you know, more than 10 or 25 people, depending on where in New York State I live, you know, which is a complete violation of the First Amendment. I mean, the violations go on and on and on. I've talked to restaurant owners who are looking at a sector in which tens of thousands of small businesses have been crushed. And why were they crushed? Not because a pandemic forced them to. There is no real science underlying a lot of these closures. It's because autocratic tyrants at the state and now the national level are creating a kind of merger of corporate power and government power, which is really characteristic of Italian fascism in the 20s. And they're using that to engage in kind of emergency orders that simply strip us of our rights to property, rights to assembly, rights to worship, and all of the rights that our Constitution guarantees.
Jack Hibbs, California has sort of been ground zero for this. And not only that, but California churches have been ground zero for this.
Everything she just described and defined is Gavin Newsom,
yes,
the California governor, part and parcel. Remarkable. That's exactly what we've been living under. Here's the thing. You mentioned the word teetering.
Mm-hmm.
California is at that moment. And I believe that as California goes, so goes the nation.
Yes.
And so we are teetering. The 49 other states, they need to look right now at California and watch what's happening. Number one, California teeters and falls into the abyss and everything that woman just warned about happens because they're trying to do it now. Or B, number two, California experiences a spiritual renewal, mm-hmm. a revival. It's not going to be an economic revival. It's not going to be a cultural revival. The only hope for California is a spiritual awakening. Having said that, why I believe she's correct is because she mentions number 10 on the 10-step rule. I challenge anyone who's listening right now, Jan, and I've been saying this to my friends. I was talking about this before anybody else was talking about it. Not that I'm a prophet. It's just that I'm sad that I see this. I cannot find cases in the last, I don't know how long, where you can tell me, oh, look, praise God, the Constitution was obeyed and upheld, and look what we got, exactly as the founders thought and gave us. Listen, I believe this is founded upon research. Somewhere along the line, the United States Constitution, which is in the way of globalism, suffered at least a coma or may have bled out and died during the Obama administration. When Trump became president, which wasn't supposed to happen, they had already prepared for Hillary, and a miraculous shockwave hit. It was Trump's presidency that told us about something called fake news, about law and order being rejected, about an agenda of socialism. You got to remember, everybody laughed at Trump when he talked about socialism over and over again. And fast forward now, it's exactly what's happened. My point is this. I think the Constitution was murdered. We know that the Democrats don't believe in it. And we certainly know that half or more than half of the Republican Party doesn't believe in it. I think it died. And I don't see it defending our police officers. I don't see it defending our citizens. I don't see it defending free speech or freedom to practice one's religion. Our courts have abandoned the Constitution. Gorsuch, Barrett, Kavanaugh, the ones that we thought were going to flip for 50 years, the court in a conservative view and manner, have completely been Trojan horses. Why? Behind it all, Jesus said before he comes back, the love of many will grow cold, and when that happens, lawlessness will abound.
That's right.
And again, prophetically, the Constitution has got to go for the man of sin to make his appearance.
Thankfully, and literally thank the Lord, our politics now can be focused on the coming king. And of course, government will be on his shoulders probably sooner than we can imagine in that wonderful, glorious millennium. I'm going to take my midpoint of the program break, but Pastor Jack and I have some additional things to talk about. Remember, folks, the Messiah is not arriving on Air Force One. That's not a quote from me, that's Pastor Jack Hibbs, but I think it's profound. We need to keep our minds on the fact that as Christians, we are looking forward to a heavenly kingdom, and then we come back for 1,000 years of perfect government on this earth. We're going to talk about a lot more things. I'm not quite through with globalism yet, because to me, that's the most significant advancement of the last year and a half or so, is the rush to one-worldism. I just want to touch on that briefly when I get back for part two of my programming. So don't go away. Coming back in just a couple of minutes.
John Lennon's Imagine. This one-worldism is Satan's answer to a churchless, Christless age that's coming. So imagine there's no heaven. What? Why? It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. And you know the part. Imagine there's no countries. Let's do away with borders, says the world globalist. No more borders. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Yoo-hoo! You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions, says the billionaire. Or nobody possessing anything, except me. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. Wow. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. Wow. You know who would say amen to that song? She already did. AOC. Now, you might say, Pastor Jack, this is getting really political. No, it's not. It's getting really biblical. This is what the Bible says about what's coming, and the world is going to be as one. And that strikes a nerve. It strikes a nerve in people. That's a little too close to home. Listen, time is arriving to the ancient prophecies of the Bible that just stand there. They're just waiting. And here we are on a train. Boop, boop. Pulling up. What's this one? Rapture of the church. Oh, what's the next one? Advent of the Antichrist and a world in free fall. What's the next one? Global economy. Are you hearing me? This is what the Bible has always said. And now we think it's too fantastic because it's so us. Which means he's near. Jesus is near.
Talking for the hour, and you just heard him, with Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. You can contact Jack at jackhibbs.com, jackhibbs.com. Learn more about Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, ccch.org, ccch.org. The reason I brought Jack on, he's had a fascinating series that he just called Futures that he presented at his church for the last 2 months, might have been longer. Not only was it received wonderfully well, but folks have been streaming, we talked about it first half, to Calvary Chapel Chino Hills from other churches, in fact, other mega churches. I could name them, and you would all know the churches that are being abandoned to come and hear biblical truth, and also hear that the King is coming, and about the glorious news of the things that are ahead. And we've talked about some dark things ahead, obviously World Economic Forum, Great Reset, tribulation from which the church is absent. I wanted to play that little clip of John Lennon. That was written in 1971. The world's answer would be no borders, no religion. The Bible said it's coming. This was a very, very popular song by Lennon back so many decades ago now. Pastor Jack, I want to get back to kind of where we left off a few minutes ago. And let me ask you this. You were asked by the media, and I want you to explain what they meant and what your answer was. They asked you, what is the evangelical community going to do without Trump? What do they mean? And tell me how you answered.
I can honestly tell you that in all of the interviews, and by the way, I remember exactly where I was standing that day, Jan, because I had gotten 15 calls mm-hmm. from various secular news agencies. They all asked the same question. They literally must have been coached. They asked, what will the church do? What will the Christian do now that Trump has not been reelected? It was a wonderful question to ask because, honestly, they were coming from the perspective of their worldview, thinking or meaning that everyone's life must be wrapped up in politics.
Okay.
And that we looked to Sacramento or Washington, D.C. for the answers. And I simply said, we're going to keep doing what we've done for the last 2,000 years. We have endured
Nero. Mm-hmm.
And Domitian's and the Colosseum. We have endured lions and gladiator games as the victims. And we're going to keep going because our kingdom, our politics is not of this world. It was quite entertaining, Jan, for me, because after these lengthy interviews, several of them decided not even to print it or to play it because it didn't go well for them. They had encountered a Christian who believed in his Bible, that the Messiah is not going to arrive on Air Force One, but he's going to come in the clouds,
mm-hmm.
that we've been given the privilege to have this republic by all intent and purposes. It looks like it's gone now. But we move on, and we keep waiting for our kingdom to come in Christ Jesus. I got to tell you, that's how the world views the Christian. The world views the Christian as though 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is some sort of a temple, and it is anything but that. The Christian gets involved in the culture because we are mandated by God to get involved in the culture, to let our light so shine before all men. But the world doesn't know that. They don't understand that. Yep, quite entertaining.
I think the thing that's been the biggest blow to believers since first of the year and new president January 20th, we've already talked about some of the dilemma that we're looking at. But I don't know that my listeners expected to be labeled a domestic terrorist, which most of us are considered by the left. Certainly not by conservatives and other Christians, of course, but How does a listener wake up one morning and suddenly we're wondering if we're going to be on a most wanted list and deal with the fact that they're a domestic terrorist and all they're doing is trying to show up to their job 9 to 5 and go to church on Sunday and take care of a family?
Yeah, well, again, our constitutional rights have evaporated right underneath our noses, and persecution is underway. We've always wondered, would it ever come to America? And if it would come to America, what would it look like? Mm-hmm. This is it. I actually call it a white-collar persecution. We're not being strung up by our fingertips or by our tongues yet, but what's happening is white-collar persecution, in my definition, is instead of beating you up, let's just take your rights away, your rights to preach, your rights to speak about anything that is outside our realm of approval. And what is our approval is you have to be affirming of everything, and yet at the same time, we do not have to affirm anything that's coming from you.
That's right.
And that's the world we're in right now. And you say, well, Pastor, that's very harsh. It's not harsh at all. It's exactly what Isaiah told us in chapter 5.
That's right.
A day would come where evil would be called good and good would be called evil. Light would be called dark, dark, light, sweet, bitter, bitter, sweet. We're there. Boys are called girls. Girls are called boys. Truth is called lies. Lies are called truth. It's exactly where we are at.
Well, maybe it's no surprise that America really is not prominent in Bible prophecy. It's like we're watching the dismantling brick by brick, just as the Romans tore apart Jerusalem brick by brick. Liberals are demolishing America brick by brick. One of the topics you covered effectively, I'm going to play just a short clip of you doing so, and that is this whole genderism issue, which is, I think, intended to confuse people, and you call it a global demonic move on the culture. And in the end of this clip, you label this as pure demonism. It's satanic. Let me just play the clip and then we'll come back and talk about it.
All of this genderism stuff's taking place to skew the lines and to confuse people. And it's not limited to the United States, you know. This is global at the same time. If all of those previous researchers and physicians were correct in their documentation that this is a mental illness, gender dysphoria is a mental illness, that's the way it's been categorized for decades, if not centuries. I'm just telling you what the doctors have said. Politicalism has changed the conversation. That being true, why is this happening globally? Why is it happening on a mass scale? Either A, there is a gigantic issue that's going through the atmosphere of mental illness, or the Bible says in the last days it's going to be like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, where there's immorality. You see, well, Jack, what about these young people? I talk to young people all the time. I talk to young people in the courtyard and in the foyer and other places. And it's interesting to me that the young people tell me that their teacher is the one that said to them that they might be a boy or a girl. It's not the kid. Or in other cases, parents refusing to identify that their child is a female or a male and say, we're not going to decide what it is yet. We're going to let... Or they actually dress them another way, a child. In any other culture of any other age, that would have been child abuse. Something has happened. I believe the answer is demonism. I believe it's satanic. I believe we are watching a global event take place that the Bible warned us about all along. And Satan traffics in the world of confusion. And if he can get someone confused in this area, he robs them of their God-given gender, because he made that person a male or a female for a purpose to bring him glory. If Satan can get them confused there, young, early, notice Satan always goes after the young. Then if he can't kill him in the womb, he'll kill him in the head and confuse them. I believe we're watching a global demonic sway of the wicked one upon our culture in the world. And that sounds harsh, but I'm sorry, it's true. It's just true.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from Southern California, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor's Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. You can learn more at jackhibbs.com, jackhibbs.com, or find info on the church, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, ccch.org, ccch.org. Privileged to be a part of services there for two or three occasions here in the last few years. Jack, going back to your clip, back on March 31st on the State Department website, they were boasting this was a transgender day of visibility. That's 10 days ago or so now. As you said moments ago, Isaiah 5:20, calling evil good, good evil, etc. So hard for my audience and yours to accept, to adjust to. And again, I kind of come back to you with the question, how do listeners respond to this?
Yeah, well, we've got to respond to it this way. Number one, do we believe the scriptures? We have to ask ourselves that question. Number two, if we believe the scriptures, what will be the arena in which scriptures lived out? In other words, make sure that what you're studying is something that you believe can happen in your world today, that we are not studying theories and we're not being some sort of scientist in an experiment. This is real. God's yeah. word's true and it comes to pass. The other thing is this. We need to understand that we're living in the age of the time that the Bible told us about regarding an age that is plump with the doctrines of demons. Hmm. I used to think, Jan, that that was all about cults and the occult and aberrant theological teachings. It certainly includes that. But I have to tell you, I've broadened the definition in my mind. Doctrines of demons simply means the teachings of demons. Well, now, from the Christian worldview, there's evidence of doctrines of demons in our universities, in our high schools, in our junior high, in our textbooks. What would that be? Falsehood to mislead people, to get them to think something other than a biblical understanding of what humanity is, things like that. That's what we need to do. We need to be educated. We must stop being content with not knowing things. We have got to know, and that's part of the human psyche is, I see that it's bad outside, so I'm going to keep my head in the ground, in the hole, so to speak. No, friends, trust God. His word is true. You see that it's bad outside. Get out there and let him use you, because you and I want to bring as many men and women yes. and boys and girls into the kingdom as is possible before we're out of here.
Can I just add one thing here to what we're talking Please. About? I think our pulpits need to start telling the bitter truth as well.
Jan, you would think that according to Ezekiel 33, that's where it would come from. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That you would think that pastors would read that. You know, God says that he looks for a man or a woman who trembles at his word. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a more powerful scripture right now than Ezekiel telling us that if a minister of God's people sees evil coming and does not blow the trumpet of warning, mm-hmm. then God's going to require the blood of those people from the hands of that minister. We're living that time right now. And I've got people telling me that they didn't go to their church for almost a year. And now last week they opened up and they went, but the pastor now has been completely transformed into what is known as a woke,
yes.
a woke pastor.
Yes.
And I had someone, I'm not going to name the church, but a family was here last week, their church, they've been here, and then they went back to their church because they got an email that their church was opening up. And the first sermon after almost a year of no teaching, the first sermon was how the pastor said that all the white people need to apologize. Mm. Go find someone who is black or Hispanic and apologize to them. The message was on injustice, and the gospel wasn't even presented. They got up at the end, and they were empty. We need God's pastors to stand up. Years ago, Jan, I love this. I've never forgotten it. This is 30 years ago. I heard at the time John MacArthur say that if you're being called to the ministry, you're going to be chained to the pulpit. And he said this, God, the Holy Spirit, will chain you to the pulpit if you're called. But you can be encouraged because the chains are lined with velvet, but they are chains nonetheless. And today in America, we see pastors who are chained to the pulpit, and we see some who maybe have a bungee cord. I don't know what. Mm-hmm. But there's a big difference going on, and I want to encourage everyone who's listening to this program right now, don't worry about the division that's happening in the church today. Don't worry about it. God is cleaning his church up. A lot of people are being shaken from the tree. Yeah. You just make sure that you have biblical theology and you will not be shaken when this storm comes and blows against you.
Just going to read two paragraphs from an article by author Terry James, co-editor of the Rapture Ready website. And the article was titled Rapture Reassurance. And folks, we really haven't even talked. We made reference to the glorious return of the Lord Jesus Christ in this hour, but it hasn't been our topic. That wasn't my intent. My intent was to cover a multitude of topics. To wind up here a little bit, let me just read a couple paragraphs. Terry says, during this troubling movement into ever-increasing evil, those among Bible teachers, writers, broadcasters, etc., who proclaim there is to be no pre-tribulation rapture are having a field day. They feed the business of prepping for a dystopian world. They stoke the fears of those who agree that life as it's been known here in America will collapse into a Mad Max-type struggle for existence any day now. And in a way, Terry goes on to say, they can't be blamed. Everything points to a profound loss of sense of reality. End-time insanity certainly seems unstoppable while mankind moves farther and farther from God and toward that time John described in the book of Revelation. Last paragraph. Hearing radio programs, etc. today that talk of the horrors to come is disturbing. Not hearing anything about what is coming from the pulpits of most churches is even more disturbing. What disturbs most is that nothing is being told of the truth that Jesus himself promises. The glorious calling of the church into his presence at a time of enveloping darkness like what is taking place now. And I think, Jack Hibbs, that does summarize in Terry's three paragraphs. It's from a long article. I picked three paragraphs. We're in chaos, and there's enveloping darkness that's going on now, but there's a herald of his coming that's going to happen any day. There's a trumpet and a shout that's going to happen any day. That's the good news. The church is going to be removed. Sadly, the earth is going to descend into. If you think it's chaos now, folks, you haven't seen anything yet. And I think we can rejoice in the fact, not in the coming chaos and certainly the suffering that's going to go on, but the promise, Jack, to the church that Jesus Christ removes us from the trial to come. That's Revelation 3:10. The trial to come is in the ensuing chapters of Revelation. Terrible time of the tribulation, the great tribulation, which is for the salvation of the Jewish nation, not the church. And I think we need to encourage people at this point in time that, yes, we're going through rough times. Yes, America's taken a terrible turn that's just tragic. America doesn't appear to be in Bible prophecy, and I think now we see why. Yes, the country seems to be being dismantled brick by brick, though we don't know. God can turn anything around. You referred to that in the opening minutes of the program, Jack. But speak into this rapture situation and the fact that it remains our glorious hope.
Absolutely, more than ever. And I want to approach it this way, Jan, with a little bit of, I hope, sanctified sarcasm.
Yeah.
And it would be this. Does not the Bible say that there is the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ? Doesn't the Bible tell us that Christ will appear unto those who are looking for him unto salvation? Doesn't the Bible tell us over and over again to be watching for you don't know when? Didn't Jesus himself say, I'm going to go away now and I'm going to go prepare a place for you? He said that's where he was going and that I'm going to come back and get you, that where I am, there you'll be also. That's the rapture. Notice, the bride of Christ is not the Old Testament saints, nor is it the tribulation saints. The bride of Christ is the church age saints. Have there been martyrs that were within the church? Of course.
Yes.
And there's going to be martyrs
yes.
within the church. However, the church is the bride of Christ. God, nowhere in Scripture do you find his church going through a time when God sends his wrath upon the earth. And yet, over and over again, in Thessalonians as an example, each of the five chapters of 1 Thessalonians promises the believer deliverance from the wrath to come. And that word has nothing to do with hell. It has everything to do with God's wrath mm-hmm. on earth. It just never ends. And if somebody would read the Bible, just pick it up and read it, they would come away with the blessed hope. Hey, this is going to happen. That's not good. But glory be to God that there's going to be a generation that will hear a trumpet blast, that will be changed without death. In a moment, they're going to be transformed. And they're going to be caught up, by the way, to meet others who previously had died. And they're going to meet the Lord in the air. Dear friends, that's in the Bible. If you say there's no rapture, then I don't know what Bible you're reading, because it's overwhelmingly clear. Now, I look for his rapture to come today, but I'm preparing to die of old age for Jesus. That's called occupy till he comes.
Right.
That's called being busy about our Father's business. Every generation of believers since the apostles believed that Christ could come for the church in their time. That's by design.
As we speak, we're talking about how things are being reshaped, of course, in Washington. But, you know, at the same time, Jack, that's creating some biblical scenarios. You talk about it, I talk about it. For instance, nations such as Iran here are being emboldened, which is setting the stage for Gog and Magog. Other things are happening that the Bible talks about will happen. We've been waiting for them to happen. We grieve over some of the things going on in our nation's capital, but it is setting the stage. I opened the program with a clip of you talking about how everything is setting the stage. Can we encourage the audience to put on glasses so that they can better watch this play that's acting out in front of us day by day, hour by hour? I think that's a good word on which to close.
I think that's a great way of putting it. The moment you mentioned glasses for reading so we could see more clearly the stage being set, absolutely. And how about this? When you put on your glasses to see about the stage being set, you might need some protective glasses because we are so into it. We're starting to see epic things transpire before us that speak of the age that will usher in the Antichrist and the tribulation period. If we are seeing precursors, Jan, to those things, such as globalism and a cashless society, if we are starting to see Amazon's creation of Zoe, the sensors reading your hand and deducting money from your account, if we see that today, then how much closer is the coming of the Lord? This is a thrilling time to be alive. I'm so glad I live right now, Jan. I wouldn't change a moment of it because these are Bible times. The encouragement is this. Every Christian I know of who knows the Lord is thrilled about today. And everyone who is not right with God, maybe backslidden, they're a little anxious. And the unbeliever is oblivious.
That's right.
So it's a fascinating moment right now. So I want all of us as believers to examine ourselves and make sure that we are on the right course and that we're trusting in what God's word says. And God's word says Jesus died for your sins. He rose again from the dead, exactly as the prophets said he would, and he did. And if you put your faith in him who saves sinners, like Jan and like Jack, then guess what? Your name will be written down in the book of life. He will transform you, and you will experience a completely new world, and it starts inside your head and your heart. Christianity is not what you do from the outside in. It's what the Holy Spirit does from the inside out in your life. Just let him in. And watch what he does to you.
You can catch Pastor Jack Hibbs Coast to Coast on radio. You can catch him online, of course. Many are keeping up to date with him, either of those two places. Be sure to catch his Real Life with Jack Hibbs, The Happening Now that he does once or twice a month. He often teams up with our good friend Amir Sarfati. Learn more at jackhibbs.com, jackhibbs.com. Learn more about Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, cch.org. cch.org. Jack, I want to thank you for joining me for the hour. We've covered a multitude of topics, some of them uplifting and some of them horrifically in the natural, scourging and depressing. But with that eternal perspective, everything gets turned around in the right direction. And I appreciate the fact that you do that. And I appreciate how you closed here our conversation. I want to go out of the program just with a sentence or two. There's so much I could say, but I think we've covered a multitude of topics, and I think we've tried to end on a positive note. And in troubled, tumultuous times, we can say with the psalmist, I trust in you, O Lord. Our times are in your hands. We can have hope in perfect government, for the government shall soon be upon his shoulders. We have a glorious future. It is out of this world. I want to thank you for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You are the healer, Jesus Redeemer.
If you can't be by a radio for Understanding the Times radio, remember all programming is posted to our website in both its audio and video format. Just visit olivetreeviews.org and go to our radio category. We welcome friendly feedback at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Get our mail when you write to Jan Markell and Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. God says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And know that everything is falling into place."